all over the place.
Under the weather?
Just getting over something.
Sid, why do I not know where it is? Oh, here we go. Yeah, I can do it when it gets there.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Seen her.
Hey, good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. This is a regular meeting of the Abatement Appeals Board. I would like to remind everyone to please mute yourself if you're not speaking. And the first item on the agenda is roll call. Vice President Newman.
Here.
Commissioner Alexander Toot.
Here.
Commissioner Calamucci.
Here.
Commissioner McLeese.
Here.
Commissioner Williams.
Here.
And Commissioner Lee.
Here.
Commissioner Ming is excused, and we have a quorum. Next, we have our land acknowledgement. Anybody would like to read it?
Yes. The Abatement Appeals Board acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples.
Thank you.
Except from that.
Next, for any of the members of the public that are listening in, the public comment call-in number is 415-655-0001. The access code is 2660-826-7548. And the WebEx webinar password is 0121. And please press star 3 when prompted by the meeting moderator to raise your hand for public comment. Next, we have the oath. Are any parties, all parties who are going to speak today, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth to the best of your knowledge?
I swear.
Okay, thank you. You may be seated. And I just wanted to let everyone know for the proceeding today, the department staff would present first, and they have 7 minutes. Next, the appellant will present for 7 minutes. There will be public comment, 3 minutes per person, and then there will be rebuttal time for the staff and then rebuttal time for the appellant of 3 minutes each. Okay, next we have item B is approval of minutes. I'd like to request if we could for a motion to continue the minutes as they're not ready to present today.
Second.
There's a motion by Commissioner McLeese. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, and by Commissioner Alexander Toot. Are all commissioners in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Public comment on that item? No public. Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have item C. Regular meeting start time, discussion and possible action. Discussion and possible action about changing the board's regular meeting start time to 9 a.m. or other time, and or to amend section 2A of the board's bylaws and rules of procedure to reflect a regular meeting start time of 9:30 a.m. or other time. So for this item, everyone knows that for some time back, we changed the meeting start time to 9:30. However, an hour is not quite enough to complete AAB meetings at times. And so in order to either hear an additional case or just to wrap up the existing cases, we'd like to propose moving the time to 9 a.m. if that's amenable to everyone.
We have additional cases also to hear at this time, right? We also have a backlog of cases.
Matthew Green, the Deputy Director for Inspection Service. Yes, we do have a backlog. We have about 30 cases from code enforcement and about a dozen from housing inspection, and more coming in every month. So we hope It would be nice if we could schedule three cases a month. We originally had two scheduled for today, but one asked to be removed from the schedule, and by that time we didn't have, you know, with all the notification requirements, we didn't have time to schedule another hearing or another case. So we would just like the opportunity to schedule three cases per month, and we're hoping 90 minutes would allow that.
Okay, so if there's,
I mean, it's really hard for me too, because I'm dropping off kids at 8:30, and then I have to get on public transit to get here, so it's okay. A little hard to get here by 9.
Yeah, we don't have the ability. You have two commissioners who have children the same school schedule, but I don't have the ability to drop my kid off before 8:15.
Okay.
That's like the earliest legal drop-off time, and so that's just 45 minutes in transfer is just unfortunately not enough to travel 3 miles in the city in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah,
then so also another option was we may potentially have some like special meetings to deal with the AAB backlog. Is that?
I think I'm amenable to that.
Okay.
For other folks, or I mean, if 9 a.m. is like better for everyone else, I mean, it's not ideal, but.
Okay, then that's fine. We can keep it at 9:30. But another thing is, the last time when we voted to change the time to 9:30, we didn't change the bylaws, so we need to vote.
Okay.
To officially make it the time in the bylaws 9:30. So that's why you had that red line edit. So everybody voted on it, but we just neglected to change it. Is that the correct? That's correct.
Can I have a question through the city attorney? And is it mandatory that we put a start time in the bylaws, or can we say it's set by the commission?
You should have the bylaws reflect the actual start time.
Okay.
That allows you to have a regular meeting time. People are on notice. So, yeah, you should.
Makes sense. I was curious. And then I know that it is everyone's desire to keep it always on the same day as BIC, because it means we only come in once and we do it really, you know, everything's really consolidated. But that is like if a future body wanted to change that for any reason, that would be a bylaw change as well. Okay. Just curious. I'm okay. We've been doing 9:30 for several years, so I think I'm okay with keeping this and putting it in the bylaws. It's been the practice.
We just need a motion to make it official. We just need a motion to officially change it in the bylaws to 9:30, even though we've been practicing that anyway.
Just a quick follow-up. How can we streamline the pending 30 cases backlog at this point if it still starts at 9:30? Like, how many special meetings will we have to hold from now till we clear it to zero?
That's undetermined right now. I can't answer that. I mean, we're going to be reasonable. It won't be like, it won't be two special meetings a month or anything.
30 to 45.
Probably 15, right? We usually do two.
Some are much more complex, but like that would be the average is about 30.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think I'm logged in. Do we need to amend the bylaws to add a special meeting, or is that something that?
No, that's
no, okay. No. Mm-hmm. So then, is there a motion to have the start time as 9:30?
Motion to have a 9:30 start time.
There a second?
Second.
Okay. And I'll do the roll call vote on the motion. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner Calamucci?
Yes.
Commissioner McLeese?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, thank you, everyone. Okay.
You forgot.
And William. Sorry. Forgot you. You did say yes. I appreciate you, everyone. It's early. Sorry. Okay, next we are on to item D, new appeal, order of abatement, discussion in action. Case number 6965, 1742 Yosemite Avenue, complaint number 2023-11787. Owners of record and appellant, Andrew Govan Smith, Revocable Trust. Action requested by appellant. Appellant appeals the June 10th, 2025 order of abatement and assessment of costs.
Morning, Commissioners. My name is Mauricio Hernandez, and I represent the Department of Code Enforcement. The violation number is 2024-22349 for address, property address 1742 Yosemite Avenue. The legal description of the property is a two-story industrial building. The case summary is as follows. The case, this case originated from a complaint received via DVI public web form on April 17, 2024, alleging work without permits, illegal change of use, and unpermitted electrical work at 1742 Yosemite Avenue. The complaint filed alleged operations of unlicensed cannabis cultivation use within the subject building. Inspection conducted by the code enforcement section confirmed extensive unpermitted interior construction, including grow rooms and associated electrical room installations, and an unpermitted change of occupancy. The observed work exceeded minor alterations and constituted significant life safety and code compliance concerns. A notice of violation was issued on May 10, 2024. Despite repeated inspection attempts and written correspondence, the violation was not abated. A final warning letter was issued on January 30, 2025, and the case was subsequently referred to code enforcement section for fire enforcement. Case was referred to a hearing on June 3rd, 2025, in which the hearing officer issued a note of abatement requiring the owner to obtain a permit and complete all work within 30 days. At this point, staff recommendation is to uphold the order of abatement and affirm associated assessment of cost. The violation involves excessive work performed without required permits, including illegal change of use and unpermitted electrical work, which remains uncorrected. The owner has provided adequate notice, multiple opportunities to comply, and due process, including issuance of notices, final warning letters, and director's hearing. The assessment of cost today is including 12 months of monitoring fees and investigation and enforcement costs was properly imposed pursuant to San Francisco Building Code. Also want to point out that planning also has an enforcement case in regards to the same illegal change of use. Thank you.
Thank you. The appellant can come forward.
Good morning, board. My name is Michael Hanna. I'm an architect here on behalf of Andrew Govan Smith, the property owner. And I believe that he provided a written statement in support of his appeal.
He did not. He did not.
I have a copy here.
Okay.
He said to me on the phone last night that he did provide that.
Yeah, because that was something it's requested, but we didn't receive it. I don't know what happened. We can, if you have an additional one, we can.
Yeah, I do. I've got two copies.
Okay.
But in any case,
so do
I
we
can,
need to
I can
vote to accept
case.
It? Or
I can email it.
I'll pause your presentation time. So actually, we need to have a vote for the board to accept the material.
Can you read it into the record?
Yes, I guess he can.
Yeah, he can either just read it into the record and give you copies, or the board can waive the deadline and accept the written statement as well. I guess consider it concurrently with his statement, with whatever he says.
You don't really want to. You might be here a while.
Is,
if I read it.
Is it lengthy? Okay.
It's like seven pages.
They need something to look at then, though, right?
Yeah.
Don't they want to look at it?
Well, you can either accept it and consider it as you wish, or he can read it into the statement, and you can just listen to it that way. But you're not, and we've paused his time, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you're not required to accept it.
You know, if he wants to use his time reading it, if he thinks it's persuasive, then perhaps the appellant can read it or use his time reading it. And if, or he can decide to just provide the summary of the key points in the statement, I think, and then we can consider it. That's what I think.
I agree. I'm hesitant to accept something into the record that I know we're not going to read.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just read it then?
I think it's your choice. I think what we're saying is that, like, I think it's your choice to do either of those two.
Yeah, I can read it.
You will be subject to your time limit, though.
Okay, what's my time?
How long? It's 7. I put it to 7 minutes. And then maybe if you don't,
it's probably
then it's rebuttal for three minutes.
Then.
Would you like to summarize it? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the summary is that he's 70 years old. He has a few problems with the city. I've actually dealt with Matthew Green here on a different project, Wallace Avenue, which is also owned by Andrew Govan-Smith. And a lot of his energy and money and his architects and structural engineers and mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineers and civil engineers and all the expense that it takes to do a project in San Francisco has been focused on Wallace Avenue. And we've been working really hard with the city and with Matthew, actually, specifically, and trying to get a different issue resolved with both the building and the planning department. And as his architect, I can tell you that from my understanding, and I believe it's written in this statement, his tenant was illegally growing cannabis, but he has had no intention of having cannabis in his building and does not want to have cannabis in his building. So as an architect, my job, as I'm currently doing with Wallace Avenue, is to take this industrial building and revert it back to its previous permitted, authorized use, which is a just an industrial building, PDR, production, distribution, repair, I believe. As far as I know as well, I'm sure it's in this statement, there's been no cannabis in that building for a few years. He has no intention of having cannabis tenants or anything in the building. So there won't be a change of use, but I understand with my experience with enforcement that we have to go through a whole process as if it is a change of use or a new building to the new codes. He just received as-built. I can tell you as an architect that, you know, just getting as-built in the city can take months. Then getting the engineers, the mechanical engineers, electrical, plumbing, and hitting everything right now with the now the city's new 100% complete. You have to be 100% complete before you can be accepted for a building application. So we've been doing that with Wallace Avenue. We're almost there. We got through planning. We're trying to get into building. And on Yosemite, he's received the as-built drawings, and so his architect, which happens to be me, can start the permit process with the plan department to abate the violation and then go move to the building department. But the gist of this appeals board letter from the owner is that the 60-day deadline for getting a permit and getting construction completed in San Francisco, I, as an architect and as someone experienced with enforcement, understand the legal aspect of it, but it is physically and economically and in all ways impossible to get. You know, planning doesn't usually provide feedback until 30, 40 days into an application. So to have you going through, and these are complicated projects, to go through planning, then building department, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, PUC, fire department, to do all that with the new back-of-house system and the backlogs that I know the city has, even if we are perfect and move at warp speed, you know, I don't think we can get this in 6 months, let alone 60 days, and nobody can. Even if this is a bathroom remodel, 60 days is difficult. But as architect, I'll be working with the owner to try and get what the city needs in terms of updated drawings or a permit for last authorized use. But just to be very clear, there'll be no cannabis. There's no intention of any change of use or any development on this this site other than reverting it back to a warehouse. And that's it. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Any callers? Okay, there's none in person, none remotely. Is there rebuttal by the department?
Good morning again, commissioners. Mauricio Hernandez, representing code enforcement. At this time, we believe that code enforcement have provided ample time to at least file some type of application, or at least a planning application. We've done violations in cannabis sites for years, and you know, we've done applications where they were doing the demolition of the cannabis materials and stuff like that. So if you look at the history of the enforcement action, it's been more than a year that, you know, about a year that we've issued a warning notice. So, you know, we've always worked with owners of properties. We understand the process sometimes can take, you know, some more departments to approve a permit, but there is nothing in our files, or there's not even in planning files that says that they're starting to work with planning, or they submitted some type of application, or they have a variance or any type of application with the other city agencies. So at this point, we believe that code enforcement follow their process correctly, and we provided enough time to at least try and submit something in the system. Thank you.
Is there a rebuttal by the appellant?
Sure. Yeah, I'd just like to rebut that. I mean, if you look at the time frame of any of the projects that go through the city, I mean, 60 days is a unheard of. It is true that we could have got some kind of planning engagement going, but without proper drawings and without, you know, site plan, floor plan, elevations, everything, we now, as architects, we don't get looked at, we don't get anything accepted until it's deemed complete. So on Wallace Avenue, we've been kicked back 5 times by the city, and it's taken 9 months for the building department not to accept our what we think is a complete application for a different building. And this is a 70-year-old man who's owns a stone mason company. He's an old contractor who accumulated some buildings through his career. But I met him as an architect in Pacific Heights working on high-end residential houses. This is not a public nuisance or a drug dealer or anything like that. This is a guy who has had, I think, TrueStone is one of his companies, been providing countertops to probably some of your houses that you live in over the last decades. And didn't, in my experience, I'm from Scotland originally, but I'm former vice chair of the Design Review Board in Richmond. I taught at Berkeley. And I've got a lot of experience in all of this. I might be the only architect helping the enforcement, the plan department enforcement division, get through their backlog. And this man himself, the applicant, Andrew Gavin-Smith, has a backlog. So as fair as it is for your colleague to comment that he's had plenty of time, if you look at the record, we've been trying to deal with Wallace Avenue, which is a much more difficult project because, unfortunately for the owner, he built it without permits. So getting a building that has existed for 25 years in the city, getting it through the system where everyone expects the building to not exist yet, and yet it already does, is very complicated. So now this man only has the means to hire one architect at a time. You know, as I said, we will be submitting this in the coming months to planning once we have all the information, which we can't submit until we have all the information. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the testimony. Then the board deliberation.
Did the board want to ask questions?
Oh, did you have questions of the appellant? I'm sorry.
I just have a few clarifying questions. You said as-built. Are you talking about scanning the building to create those, or are you talking about requesting existing building drawings from records?
Oh, just there are no existing drawing records. City, there's not an archive of that. So the owners hired, I don't know if it's as-built, Fog City as-built, or one of the local as-built companies.
Okay, so it's scans, and they're going out and scanning the building and creating this. Okay.
Yeah, we don't. They don't really do it that way. That's they're very simple CAD drawings.
Okay.
You only have to scan buildings when you're doing some complicated.
So I have a question regarding the timeline in the statement. You know, I understand you're talking about Wallace, but that's not pertinent. I mean, it's a story, but it's not pertinent to this.
Legally,
specific.
It's not, but reality is.
When I look at the timeline, I see the initial complaint started in April of 2024.
Yeah.
And the gentleman filled out a form in June of 2025, so 14 months later.
Yeah.
And in it, he says that he has not applied for a permit, and he has not hired an architect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm curious why there was a 14-month delay in getting this process started.
Because we've been spending the last 9 months and before that focusing on Wallace Avenue and closing out another one called Heron Street, 19 Heron Street, which I was brought in 3-4 years ago, and I believe I'm the only person helping Vincent Page get things through his through his outbox. That's enforcement action to give you a context of how these things really happen. That was started in 2018, and it took me 3 years of my knowledge and my help to get that project finished. And then once we got that abated and dealt with, he started looking at Wallace. Then we've been focused on Wallace. He's also been sued by the DA, and so this is, I'm just telling you the reality of this is a man with not a lot of means. That does everything himself, and he's lucky he's got me, otherwise, you know. But he is trying to address these one at a time because he doesn't have the resources to address this all at once. So I think if I were to speculate, he probably thought that Yosemite was less pressing because it came after the Wallace Street one, which we've been working so hard on. And Matt can testify to this. We still haven't been approved as complete. We get new comments from we're on round 5 of completeness, and we get new comments that we hadn't seen before. So that's just an example, an anecdote that applies to this issue. That, you know, I just know that he hasn't been able to financially, time wise, and with dealing with the court, which is now a court case from the DA, which is now going federal. So that's also, it may not be relevant in this forum, but it's very relevant in his life. So he is trying to, he is being, you know, the you know, he's reaped what he's sown, but all the bad things have come out at the same time. And he's, you know, I just know there's a lot of pressure on him, and that's why I'm here today, because he's 70 years old and he's exhausted. And he's just trying to, you know, if any of you guys have gone through, I know you work it for the city, but if you've ever personally gone through a permitting process, it's quite amazing. You know, I mean, I've even had situations where I've helped little old ladies who inherited a building, and they didn't realize it was an illegal ADU, and it's taken 5 years to resolve it. So as much as our great planner or building inspector does a great job, I'm sure, sees things as a very, oh, this, we gave them a notice, this should be done. There is a broad context here, which I believe is now a federal law case as well, that this man is just trying to do the best he can to get buildings permitted, get all the rights wronged, and all that.
No.
Just a couple of questions. So the complaint arises from April 24 from unpermitted work. Was the tenant doing all that unpermitted work, or was this being done by?
Yeah, I visited the property after that time, but I could see that the tenant had snuck in some stuff. It was actually in the areas of the building. There's a main open work area, and then there's these side areas that are structure, and usually those would be unauthorized for personnel only, and they'd snuck in some really low-efficient, kind of terrible grow facilities for cannabis or whatever plant you would grow. I didn't see, I don't think there was any cannabis in there then, but it was not some sophisticated, I've done legal cannabis cultivation projects all over the state, and this was an unsophisticated tenant trying to do something. And the electrical work associated with it was not some array of LED lights and some sophisticated grow operation. It was literally the guy jerry-rigged some stuff up and didn't tell the owner. And the owner, you know, should have more oversight over his buildings. As soon as the owner found that out, he had the tenant removed and removed all the stuff. But then you can't do too much. You can't do full demolition of things because you need a permit to do that. So that, you know, that every which way you turn, you do need a permit. You should get a permit, but it is time-consuming and so hopefully that answers your question, Dan.
Yeah. No. Thank you. And then just another question. And I realize you're not the owner. You've came on, I guess, after June 25, because June 25, it says there was no architect. And the owner has a lot of experience working in the city. And we hear that, you know, we want to work with the city, but I'm looking at this list of enforcement actions, and there's a lot of no access given to inspector, didn't show up for director's hearing, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Is there something, and I don't want, because I really, you're not the owner. Is there maybe something in the letter and his statement that explains, like, why there doesn't seem to be the work with the city when, you know, there are these director hearings and inspectors trying to come in, and it seems like, you know, the city's trying to work here and aren't getting the full cooperation of the...
Yeah, I think it's a simple case of when it rains, it pours, and he was fending off so many different things from every angle to the point where... You know, we got Heron Street abated, and like the week later, he was told that the DA himself was, that the city of San Francisco is suing him as well as a public nuisance. So that has completely turned his world upside down. He's having to deal with that case, with the Heron Street case, with the Wallace Avenue case, and now with Yosemite. And I just don't think he was able to get to it, and it seemed like the least hot, thing, because, trust me, Wallace Avenue, trying to get, I don't know if anyone's ever done this before, but trying to get a permit and do notification for a building that's already been there for 25 years breaks everyone's mind. They're like, what? Neighbors are like, wait, what? This already exists. Why are you saying it? You know, it is just the chaos it creates because this system that we have, and I think... You know, we have some of the most sophisticated plan check and building department, you know, system in the world, from my experience. But that doesn't mean that San Francisco is not an absolute basket case when it comes to every single property is unique. Every single, you know, there's so many things. So I just think that, you know, and I know him, you know, I've got to know him over the last few years, helping with his cases. He's overwhelmed. He is 70 years old. He should be retiring. And he thought that these buildings were his retirement, but think again, he didn't do it properly, you know. Okay. Boo-hoo as well, we all say. But
okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Right? I mean, it's...
Commissioner too. Yeah. Alexander too.
Thank you. I have a question for the department. So I realize that Wallace and this Yosemite case are separate cases. However, you do reference in the notice of violation that Wallace is adjacent and on the same block and seems to have similar complaints. Could you just talk through kind of like, you know, how did this end up in the notice of violation? It seems like there's maybe a pattern of the similar violations in multiple locations. I'm just trying to understand kind of the notes and the observations in the notice of violation.
So I think what we did on this notice is that since we saw a pattern, the inspector just referenced as saying that there is actually a pattern in regards to this property and also the property owner. So when we have cases like that, when we have situations that they're like saying, you know, for example, let's say that we have an illegal unit on this property and we know that this owner has multiple properties and we get more complaints on this property. So we try to connect it. So whenever we believe that it's ready for refer it to city attorney, then we have a good argument to refer it to the city attorney. Also want to point out that this property, it had multiple complaints over the years for unpermitted work. This is not the first one. There was in the packet, there's one permit back in 2009 to comply with a housing notice of violation for when they installed a residential unit and they had to remove it. So there was, like I said, again, and I want to point out something that the representative pointed out. Code enforcement doesn't just look like this. We also look outside the box. If the owner would say, hey, if there's electrical work there, I can pull a permit to cap the illegal electrical work, by all means, we can allow that. Yeah. But if you can see that, there's nothing there. So we could have worked with them. We could have worked with planning. We could have worked with our deputy director or even our director saying, can we allow some work to happen or some type of work that at least removing the chemicals that are there or removing some of the stuff that was there left off by the tenant. So it's not, like I said, and if you look at the pattern of the complaint or the whole history of the complaint, we gave ample time to at least, you know, sit down with us and say, hey, this is a plan I'm doing. This is what I'm doing on other properties. Can I do this? And we, by all means, we can say we can work with electrical and say, can we get you a permit to just cap all the electrical work that was done or the tamper electrical that was done without a permit?
Thank you.
Commissioner Williams.
So I have a question for it's Mr. Hanna, right?
Yes.
The appellant. All right. Mr. Hanna, in your initial presentation, is there anything you wanted to add about the current condition of this property? We're talking about the Yosemite property.
No, not at all. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's much easier than Wallace and Heron because it's just reverting back to its original use. There's nothing in there right now. It's the city's enforcement actions, which rightfully are the immediacy here. But there's no, you know, there's no outstanding issue. I mean, I guess your colleague made a comment which I think is reasonable about, yes, you could get an electrical permit to have someone go and cap the stuff. But, you know, opening the can of worms of doing any kind of project in San Francisco is a huge ordeal. And it's not, when you get these notices, all that happens is the building owners get these notices, and he's just been overwhelmed with this. Every time he goes to his building, there's another new notice. And he doesn't, is it from planning? Is it from building? Is it from, it doesn't say in the.
Mr. Hanna, I want to, I'm interrupting not because that's not of concern, but I want, okay, let me just get to the point of my questions here. So have you reviewed the application that the owner submitted?
Yeah.
All right. Have you the first page, which in bold says jurisdiction of the Abatement Appeals Board?
I don't have it printed.
Okay.
On,
with I'll just read it. So yeah, under section 105A2, the San Francisco Building Code,
In Chapter 77 of the San Francisco Administrative Code, the AAB has the power to hear and decide appeals from orders and abatement and hear direct appeals pursuant to the FFBC Section 102A. The board may uphold, modify, or reverse such orders provided that the public health and safety and public welfare are secured most nearly and in accordance with the intent and purpose of the code. So the reason why I was asking is because the department has found that the building is in an unsafe condition. That qualifying provided there means we can't do anything if the building is in an unsafe condition, and it doesn't matter what the complications with permitting are. Mm-hmm. If it's unsafe, we don't have the power to do anything for you. So when I was asking, you know, like, I didn't hear anything in the presentation challenging the finding that it's in an unsafe condition. So
I don't know where that's come from, who at the city has analyzed the building, and that's what's interesting is it takes such an undertaking to get information about a building, and you know, these, even just the thing you read to me, if you can imagine an old contractor, 70 years old, and he reads this stuff, and it's just like, you know,
that's license.
Before I was had to stop talking about the thing with the we could cap the electrical.
Well,
when you get these violations,
I'm sorry. The expectation is if you are a GC, you are familiar with the code, you are tested as such, and so actually,
well, he's not a licensed GC. He's a stone subcontractor.
Okay, he's a stone subcontractor. So, okay,
yeah, but he doesn't do the work himself. Okay. He's 70 years old.
Okay, so, got it.
Yeah.
But he's still been in the industry for a fairly long time and should have some working knowledge of the process, especially since it seems like he owns multiple buildings and has been involved in lots of different sorts of work over the years. But as Commissioner Williams has pointed out, that's not what we're here to discuss.
Yeah.
I have one question for the department.
Before the tonight.
Oh, yes.
So, Mr.
Sorry,
Hanna,
sorry.
I only pointed that out because I have a feeling we may be seeing you again. I feel like, given your qualifications, you may be asked to represent somebody else with this board again.
I don't know if I'm doing this work anymore.
Yeah.
I like your optimism.
Yeah. So, to clear some things up, we're like volunteers.
Yeah.
And we have.
We are volunteers.
Yeah.
We are volunteers. I've been vice chair of the board.
We have limited powers on this board, and we are bound by the building code. So, you know, all these. So I'm sensing a lot of frustration with you about how, you know, the city operates and with the permitting and with all of that.
I could write a book.
Yeah, you could. Perhaps you should. If you are asked to do this again, just know that one of the key things we're looking for is that, provided that the public health and safety aren't impacted, because otherwise, as I interpret the code, we can't do anything, no matter how unjust anything else was. If there is a outstanding public health and safety issue, we can't modify or reverse an order.
Well, as architect, I'm the one that takes that on, you see. So once I've had the time to, as I've done with Heron Street, as I'm doing with Wallace, and as I will do with Yosemite, to actually go through the whole process with the city, it's my stamp that ensures life safety and that makes that building safe. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that the building currently is absolutely safe, because I'm not the architect, right? Nobody can. That's why we have a whole system of permits, so that you in the city know that these buildings are all here safely. So, but we don't have that luxury, and I'm just explaining that the reason these things take so long, and this is not unusual, it's not because my client is unwilling, it's because the process from the city is unbelievably filled with catch-22s and red tape, and it will take months and months, even if we were... So for me, this is a very straightforward project as an architect. We revert back, I've done several, we revert back to the original warehouse. But because of the spotlight of the violation and the code, everything now has to be up to today's standards, And if you look at the reality on the ground, there, I think my guess is 98% of all buildings in the city are out of code in some way. So what happens with these violations, it's a punitive process, and I get it, but it basically rakes the owners through years
we understand
of issues, and times three is probably why we're here.
We understand your frustration with the process. However, the process we have is in place, and I think, you know, they've offered opportunities for you to work with them and show that you're moving forward the process. And we basically, we've seen in this list of things, we've seen zero effort to try and, you know, make any effort to push forward or fix this notice of violation. And so do you have any proof that any progress has been made to date? And are, you know, I understand it's complicated because it's planning and Department of Building Inspection, and so there's two processes.
And it's a commercial building in downtown San Francisco, right?
And
so we have as-built drawings here that I received last week.
Have any steps been taken with planning?
Not that I'm aware of, other than replying to this and replying to the, you know, being here today and all of that.
Okay.
But I think there's a 0 to 100 sort of issue here where it looks like we have nothing, but the way that the city has rearranged things since we moved to the new building and trying to get online permitting is that we have a new completeness method, and Matt Green could talk to it, where if you don't have 100% of everything, it's like you go through plan check before you get to your plan checker. So if I don't have all my ducks in a row, if I don't have the complete drawings ready for planning department submittal, I just get rejected and rejected. There's no nice, helpful thing in the letter from enforcement saying, oh, just cap your electrical and send a guy to do it, and it's over the counter, and I'm sure we can help. That doesn't exist in the city. We are always trying to go through the same fixed system of bureaucracy and trying to put our project, which is case by case different, through the same, you know, grate or whatever.
So it's very difficult. I understand your frustration.
No, it's not frustration. I'm telling.
So
supporting what it's like to be an architect.
So thank you for your presentation and for coming today. I move to uphold the order of abatement and the assessment of costs. This is a pattern with this owner. The exact set of violations in this Yosemite building are the exact same set of violations in a different building. And this is the third time. There's been no movement in over a year and a half on this. I'm compassionate to, you know, anyone's frustration in the system, but it doesn't seem like that's actually the holdup here. And this is a repeat offender who unfortunately has not made any movement on the life safety hazards in this property in over 18 months. And so I don't see that it's within the jurisdiction of this board to grant any relief.
I second.
Okay. So there is a motion and a second to uphold the order of abatement, including the assessment of costs. And I'll do a roll call vote on the motion. Vice President Newman.
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot.
Yes.
Commissioner Calamucci.
Yes.
Commissioner McLeese.
Yes.
Commissioner Lee. Yes. And Commissioner Williams.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, next we have item E.
Thank you.
General public comment. Members of the public may address the board on matters that are within the board's jurisdiction and are not on today's agenda. Speakers shall address their remarks to the board as a whole and not to individual board members or department personnel. No general public comment on this matter. Next is item F, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Are all commissioners in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we are now adjourned. It's 10:25 a.m. And we will resume shortly as the Building Inspection Commission. Thank you.
SFGov TV.
San Francisco Government Television.